A young man went to a local store, just like maybe you would if you were asked to or whatever. And when he got to this local store, he was searching for some washing detergent. And of course, the clerk asked him, "Well, why do you need it, if I may ask?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to wash my dog." And the clerk looked at him and said, "Well, son, you use detergent on the dog. It's pretty strong. You know, something could happen." But the young man persisted. He wanted some washing detergent to wash his dog. And he was bound to get it. And so the story goes that the man, having heard his plea, told him that he'd sell him some, and he cautioned him once again, if you're not careful, you can kill your dog. So don't use too much, okay?" And the young fellow left. About a week later, roughly speaking, he came back in the store. And the story goes that the clerk looked at him and said, "Well, did you get your dog washed?" He said, "No, my dog died." "Well, I told you that's a possibility. If you use too much of it and so forth, it could happen." "So did you use too much?" And the boy looked at the clerk and said, "Now, if you brought a copy of God's Word, we're going to look today in the book of John. The book of John, chapter 21. Now, quickly, while you're turning there, let me just say that I have another funeral this afternoon, but I don't have to preach it. But I have to go to it. But I want to tell you about something special tonight. I don't know if you've taken time to look at your bulletin, but I hope that you will look at it, because tonight we're going to have a young man who has recently joined our church, who has to be seated right here in front of me in the, is that a green looking type shirt? Nathan is going to be preaching tonight. And I'd like to see every single one of you, and you could even bring a friend. It is a great encouragement to a young preacher if you're here. And I know that he'll enjoy your being here. And I don't know for sure what he's going to preach on, but I think he told me that it's still choices, okay. So think about coming tonight if you possibly can, and we'll love to see you, and hopefully you can be here. Let me just say something to you that, have you ever let down a friend? Have you ever, for whatever the case may be, regretted your decision? Probably all of us have. I doubt a single person in this room, if he or she's honest, can say, that's never been a situation that I found myself in, because I've probably regretted more than maybe the other way around. We're going to learn today about a man who let down a friend, and he regretted it. His name is Peter, Simon Peter. Simon means basically little. Peter means something like rock. Jesus told Peter back in the book of Matthew that, knowing what he had said regarding the church, "I'm going to build my church, and I'm going to call you Peter, a rock." And so let's look at this particular scripture right here. It says, in beginning of verse 15, And going down through 19, I'm not going to read every single word to you exactly, but I call it free translation, if you'll just pardon me. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon, or Little, Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you love me? I want to call your attention in the biblical language, there's four words for love. And this is a special one. He said, agapao, do you love me? Agapao. Now, agapao is a word which means the deepest, most meaningful love that a person could possibly ever have. I imagine that you occasionally say to your first wife, I love you. And you probably use the word agapao. Hopefully you do. If you don't, you better. So, that's the way Jesus said, do you love me with the deepest, most meaningful love that you could possibly say to another person? But listen to what Peter said. He said, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. But the word that he uses here is a totally different word. He doesn't use the word agapao. He uses the word phileo. Phileo. Now, from phileo, we get the word Philadelphia, Mississippi or Pennsylvania, whatever the case may be. Philadelphia. And so the word means a friendly love, a relationship love. So look how Peter has turned the word around, so to speak. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. The Lord said, well, feed my lambs. He said unto him the second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? The Lord uses this deep word for love, agapao. He turns it around and says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Phileo. Phileo. And the Lord said, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he said unto him the third time. The third time now. The Lord looks at Peter and says the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this time, the Lord uses the word phileo. Phileo. And listen to what the Apostle Peter says. He said unto him, Lord, you know, eido. This is a word which means you can see it. You can perceive it. You know without a doubt in your mind, so to speak. You know. This is the kind of love that maybe a husband and wife has when they're married. You know. Nothing held back. You know that I love you. That I love you, phileo. So now we've seen the Lord come from the highest down to where Peter is. In other words, he is saying something like this, if you can't possibly meet me where I want you to be, I'll come down to where you are and take you where you are. Because he says, maybe in time I can lift you up. I can make you love me like I want you to love me. So look at what he said, feed my sheep. Verse 18, verily, verily. Now, if you have a King James, it says verily, verily. You may have a different translation. That's okay. But in the biblical language, this is the word amon, amon. We get the word amen from this word. Amen. Or it can be translated yes, yes. A lot of times when I'm marrying couples, I will say to them, just say yes. Instead of I do and all that stuff. People don't know what that word I do means, but they know what yes means. Verily, verily, I say unto you. And he tells him that. Verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death. This word death is the word thanatos. Thanatos. We get the word thanatophobia. People have a fear of death. Thanatophobia. Phobia means fear. Thanatos means death. A fear of death. He said, he signifies by what death he should glorify God. I track, and we may have done it. I just, top of my head, I can't recall the last time. You've heard the old doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. This is the word. Very same word, doxa. That he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, Jesus said to him, follow me. Akaluthio, akaluthio, follow me. Like a sergeant leading a group of recruits and saying, march! And goes down the road marching. Follow me. Like a coach saying to the team, do what your quarterback says. Akaluthio, do what you're told to do. Follow me. Dr. Charles Allen's been dead a long time. He wrote about 40 books. In one of his books that talks about peace in the valley, he tells about something that I think all of us within reason can identify with in a poetic way. He said, don't walk in front of me. I may not follow. Don't walk behind me. I may not lead. Just walk beside me and be my Ralph Waldo Emerson put it this way. Every man spends his life in search of friendship. That is, someone who will make him do what he can. That is the service of a friend. Alice Robinson came and wrote these words. She said, we have a lot of acquaintances in life. You know, people that we work with day in and day out. If something happens to them, we are concerned. And we want to do something to help. But a real friend, that grows slowly. We all need friends. Every single one of us need friends. You may not think you do, but you do. You may not even want to, but you do. And so because we need friends, we try to reach out to them. It's a fact of life. It's been said, God gives us our relatives, but we choose our friends. Someone has amply said this. Be careful about your friends. If it were not for them, you'd be a total stranger. And you would be. Another person said, a friend in need and need and need is one you don't need. And this one was well said. It said, no, I'll tell you that a little bit. You see, we all need friends. Even Jesus needed friends. If you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts, you will find a listing of the disciples. And in every list, every single one of them, there is Peter listed first. Protos is the Greek word. He's first. Protos. Nobody ahead of Peter. You know, Jesus had 12 apostles / disciples, depending on what you want to call them. But you know, out of those 12 individuals, he was very close to really about 3 of them. Now, somebody said, well, that's not right. Well, you tell the Lord then. Peter, James, and John. That's what you find listed. He took Peter, James, and John up on Mount. And then we had the transfiguration. You see, there's something about some friends close to people. And yet these friends were constantly letting him down. They were sleeping on the transfiguration event. And so it's not something that Jesus was not used to, because on this occasion, Peter let him down. Oh, Peter, strongly, I will not deny you. But he did. Others may say bad things about you, but not me, Lord. But he did. You see, some of the people that you can count on will let you down. Maybe they don't intend to. Maybe that's the last thing on their mind. But they do. And you know, instead of being angry at them, instead of feeling bad about them, maybe you and I need to take the Lord's attitude. Redemption. Reclamation. I'll give you another chance. That's what he did. On these 3 occasions, because you see now the crucifixion is over with. On these 3 occasions, you see Jesus has risen from the dead. He is offering Peter reclamation. And Peter says, God, I can't love you where you are. And so the Lord said, let me take a step down where you are, and I'll hopefully bring you back up to where I want you to be. It is to say that no matter who you are, you can mess up. And every single one of us at some point in time has messed up in life. Your mess ups won't be my mess ups, and my mess ups won't be your mess ups, but we've all messed up. We've all fallen short of the glory of God in some way. As I tell people many, many times, to sin, there's the word harmatia simply means sin. And it's likened to an archery target, and you shoot the arrow, and you may miss the big old O by a silly millimeter, but you may miss it a country mile. But if you miss it by a silly millimeter, you've at least still missed it. And so it doesn't make any difference where you shoot if it doesn't hit the target. You've missed it. And so you and I need to know that the ones we thought would never let us down do. And the ones that we would never have believed would let us down have done so. But when we look in the mirror, who do we see? Us. Us. The other night, we went out to eat, and my youngest son, who happens to be here, kind of got on to me about my getting miffed at some people not seating us. We had been there. They told us 15 minutes. It was about 30-something minutes. And I said, what's the problem? Oh, we've got a party here. And I said, okay. They let me down. They told me 15 minutes and it had been double that, and we were still waiting. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I was ready to go somewhere else, but I knew it'd be another 30-minute wait. So my point is this. Every single one of us has messed up. None of us are perfect. Not a single one of us. If we were true and I ask you to come to the altar today and just bow your head and pray the Lord, it'd be full of people if we were honest. Note, I'm saying if we were honest. So what about you? Have you blown it? But you see, that's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to help the one who's fallen short of his glory and find reclamation. And you see, he's depending upon you. Oh, that friend. You see, there was a cartoon. And a man was seen holding up another person. Must have been Jackson, I'm not sure. Holding up another person. And the man said, "Give me all your valuables." And the last frame of that cartoon shows the man stuffing in the bag his friends. Have you let the most important friend down? The one who saved you? The one who's given you a second chance? More so than not? Then what hope is there? He will forgive, thankfully. A young boy went to store. He told the clerk he needed some washing detergent. The clerk asked, "What do you need it for?" He said, "I want to wash my dog." And he said, "Well, son, if you use this detergent on the dog, you know, you can maybe harm him." But he insisted that he wanted some detergent to wash your dog, so he sold him some. He said, "Now listen, listen to me carefully. You use too much of this, you're liable to kill your dog." So the boy went home. About a week later, he came back and he said, "How'd it go? How's your dog?" "Oh, my dog died." And the clerk said, "Well, I told you, you used too much. You used too much. You probably killed him." And I guess that's what happened. He said, "No, sir, I think it was the spin cycle that got him." What about it? Spin cycle or not, how many of us need God to forgive us? Shackled by a heavy burden. You use that word shackle. Why? Shackled by a heavy burden. Neath the load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me. And now I am no longer the same. Are you? Let's pray. God, I pray today that no person will leave this house today that set aside for you as your church without dealing with issues in his or her heart. And I pray you bless them as they do now in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Would you please stand?